Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim bring to a close this portion of their class on the basics of the Hebrew language by bringing more insight into the teachings of the Jewish culture.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. I have my good friend Billy Brim with me today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We love having her, and we're hearing something so marvelous this week, so don't miss a word of it.
And you know, especially if your ladies are there, the Bible, absolutely, you are free. You are free to serve God. You are free to be a leader. You are free to speak in the church.
That's right.
And so we're going to look at what is revealed to us in the Word of God about that. And we stopped yesterday with Hannah and the book of 1 Samuel, and how that her prayer not only birthed Samuel, but birthed the Anointed One, the Messiah. I hope you didn't miss yesterday, but if you did, you can go online
and you can
watch it, because that's a great revelation. Now, Hannah was one of seven women who are prophetesses in the Old Testament. Another one, and really, I think this one's my favorite. Oh, you can't have favorites, really, but it's Huldah. Huldah the prophetess. And King Josiah, he was a good king, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. King Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right nor to the left. Now, there had been evil kings before him, and they had not kept the word of God before their eyes. Remember, the Lord said, you keep this word before your eyes, but they had not. And so in the 18th year of his reign, so add 8 and 18 to find his age, verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they got into the house of the Lord to clean it up, to repair it, they found a copy of the book, the Bible. And they brought it, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, they brought it to the king, verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. The first five books, he found the Torah. And when they read in there what they're supposed to be doing, how they're supposed to be obeying God, and they haven't obeyed Him, and they've had wicked kings, they're backslidden as a nation. And when this King Josiah heard it, it caused him to be troubled. Verse 19, and it came to pass, actually they read that book before the king. They read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They read it before the king. Verse 18, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. He tore them in mourning. He knew they were backslidden, and he wept, and he turned to God. And he told these people with him there, he said, verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the word of the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. So he told him to go and inquire of the Lord. Well, in those days, when you go and inquire of the Lord, you go to a prophet. So, verse 22, Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, a woman. They're going to inquire of the Lord, and they go to a woman. And they, and Hilkiah, and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvat, the son of Chasra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spoke to her to that effect. In the middle is the temple, and then round about it, the people live in different circles around the temple according to the place that they occupy. So she had a very high place of residence. Now, verse 23, she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell you the man that sent you to me. And she goes on and tells what God gave her. And he gave her that, yes, Israel is going to have to pay for it, but it's not going to happen during the reign of Josiah, that he's going to know a peaceful reign before the judgment comes on them for their backslidings. But the point I wanted to make to you, they sent for the word of the Lord and they inquired of a woman.
That's right.
Now, here is a book, Daily Life at the Time of Jesus. It's written by my dear friend, Miriam Feinberg Vamush in Israel. And she was a guide, noted guide for years. She's an intellectual, a writer, an author. She is a journalist and works for one of the newspapers in Israel. And when we take trips, she guides us. And I'm telling you, when she guides us, we find out good things. And Miriam helped me find something. And you know, sometimes I get to say things and Miriam will hear something. Like, for instance, she'd always heard all of her life that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was cursing the nation of Israel. And I was teaching on the bus one day and I said, Jesus cursed, you know, this was in Mark chapter 11, that when he cursed the fig tree, he was teaching us a faith lesson, that we can have the faith of God. We can speak to things and move mountains. She literally almost wept. She said, Billy, that's the first time I've ever heard it taught like that. She said, usually if I take someone on some of these tours, they'll teach it that God cursed Israel and he doesn't like us and he's through with us. Can you imagine how that makes them feel?
Oh, my.
And so she was so glad to hear that. Well, one day she was teaching and she helped me. And she used the word responsa. And she was telling that when the rabbis, when the people, this is a common thing, it's happened all through Bible times and it happens right up till today, that when a congregation or a person has questions, they send it to the rabbi in writing, and then the rabbi answers it in a responsa. And I'm going to show you in this Tehillim here. I want you to see this, Gloria. You're going to be the witness that I'm telling them the truth.
Okay, I'm going.
That right here, it's going to mention someone's responsa. Katvesh Yerin quotes the responsa of Radvaz. Now, he's giving, because it means that this guy got a letter and he answered about the two resurrections.
I see. Uh-huh.
Okay, and it's called the responsa.
All right. What page is that?
This is on page 904 of the Psalms 1 okay. through 72.
Response.
All right.
That's interesting.
She told about this practice among the Jews. I'm telling you, not only has Hebrew helped me, but understanding things about
yes.
Judaism. Because, you know, Jesus was a Jew, Paul was a Jew, and Paul was considered to be a rabbi. When I was working for Kenneth E. Hagin, all my life I had known I was called to preach. But I went to a denomination that said that women couldn't preach. And so I came to work for Brother Hagin, and one of the first books that I did for him was The Woman Question. And I tell you, I wept. I said, you mean I can do what you call me to do, Lord, and not get in trouble with the judgment seat of Christ? What a deliverance. What a freedom. And Brother Hagin came by my desk one day when we were working on that book, and he was looking at it, and he looked at me like this. And he said, you know, I wrote the book, The Woman Question, but he said, some people say that Paul was answering a letter. He said, I didn't take the time and space to go into it. And he turned around and walked out. I thought, what? Brother Hagin had that way. He could plant something in you. And I thought, well, I got to find out if Paul was writing a letter. And so later on, I got a book by Catherine Bushnell. It's called God's Word for Women. And she went into that, those scriptures, and said that indeed Paul was answering a letter. He was making a responsa. The people had written him a letter, and he was responding to their questions. Now here, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And Brother Hagin said that to me. He said, some people say that Paul from chapter 7 on of 1 Corinthians was answering a letter. And so, in a responsa, that's the answer to it. When you ask the rabbi the question, you put the question down, and then he gives his responsa. And so here, it starts with chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, that is not Paul's answer. That is not Paul's statement. That is their first question. If that's the way it is, there never have been any children from Paul on right. till now. So the way you find out what is the question and what is I'll the see. Answer is you determine if that's something that fits in context with the whole Word of God. And you know that that's not in context with the whole Word of God. Now, sometimes he will state the question like in chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols. Mm-hmm. So then he's going to give the answer for the mm-hmm. things. Now, in chapter 9, somebody has attacked his apostleship. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ? And then he gives his responsa answering concerning the apostleship. Isn't this enlightening?
Yes, it is.
Now, he gets over until chapter 10, I would not have you ignorant concerning this and that. And chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So now he's going to answer and give his responsa on the spiritual gifts. And so he goes on with his responsa and their questions. Now, you can always tell the question if it's not in line with what Paul said or with the Word of God. Here is, we're gonna read you something that has caused all kinds of trouble in the church. And here it is, 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. People have taught that, Gloria. They have taught that women can't speak in the church. Well, now, if you're going to go absolutely by it, that means when you go in the church house door, you can't talk.
Not a word.
No, you can't get up and sing a special. You can't teach the junior class. You can't not give a testimony.
If that were true.
If that were it, you can't not do one thing. You have to keep silence. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Well, now we have to know that this is not Paul's thinking. For one thing, the law never says that. The law is... it can mean different things. It means the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, or the whole Old Testament. And nowhere in the first five books does it say that women have to be silent. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that women have to be silent in the Old Testament. We just read about Huldah. They were inquiring of the Lord, and they went to a woman, Huldah the prophetess, to find out what God said. So it doesn't say that in the law. Nowhere does it say that. And if they will learn anything at home, let them ask their husbands. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's the question. That's not Paul's response.
Oh.
What is his response? Verse 36. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Paul's answer to such a stupid question is, what? Came the word of God to you? You only? You've got this revelation, women must keep silence in the church? What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. He's already told them that he takes Priscilla with him, Priscilla and Aquila. She's a woman. He's already told them about when women prophesy, what to do. So he says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So his response was, what? It's craziness. And he says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, Miriam Feinberg and I have an inside joke. Here in this book is, this is the temple outside wall here. And we'll give the southern wall. And in that southern wall, there are gates called the Huldah Gates. And those gates are sometimes called, they believe these are probably what's called the Gate Beautiful. But they were named for Huldah the prophetess. Now, we used to have this really wonderful guide. I liked him. I loved him very much. But he was so ignorant concerning women and their rights. And he was far, far to the fact that, you know, women, he was one of those, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. And he would go there. I loved him. I wrote in my book, The Blood and the Glory. He's the one that took me to the caves of Machpelah when they weren't letting people go there. So I loved this guy. But every time he'd get before those Hulda gates, and he would say that those gates were named for a little rodent that came up out of the ground, an unclean animal, and that it were not named for Hulda the prophetess, unlike people thought. I got so angry at him, I told him one time, I said, if you say that one more time, I'm never hiring you as my guide. I do not want my people to think that God named gates for a rat
instead
and
of
wouldn't
a woman.
Name this for a woman. But he's one of those that Paul was talking about, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Now, we didn't get over into all of our great things that we wanted to get to about blessing. Remember how we said that you can always see the root word in a word?
So, are you still on women? Or are you going
to... No, I'm going to blessing.
Okay, but you could sum it up saying, according to what you see in the Scripture, there's not anything a woman can
do. There's nothing a woman can't do.
Any position she
can't
fulfill.
Absolutely.
It's perfectly
scriptural. She could be like Esther the Queen. She could be the one that God uses to save a nation.
That's right.
For such a time
Amen.
As this, Esther
That's right.
came to the kingdom.
Praise God for
and
such
he's
a time
done it,
as this.
And I'm telling you, he's free to do it again.
Amen.
And you know, in the Lord, we're told in the New Testament, there's neither male nor female.
That's right.
In the church. And when God calls you to a position, we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And so it's our spirit, like my husband. He thought I was the best preacher, you know. But I knew how to submit to him as my husband.
Sure.
That's my body thing. I'm the mother of his children.
That's right.
That's a whole different matter. But in the spirit, he knew I was called to preach. And when I'm called to preach, Gloria, and when I do stand up in front of men and I speak and I preach and I teach, it's not in my femininity that I'm standing
That's
there.
Right.
It's in my spirit. And that spirit, God says of the spirit, there's neither male nor female. There's neither male nor, there's neither a Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. In the spirit,
That's
the
right.
spirit is in the image of God, and there's not even a sex part to it.
That's right.
You know, we live in bodies that are male or female for having the children and different things.
So scripturally, a woman can be anything God's called her to be.
A woman can be anything God's called her to be.
Amen. I agree
She
with
can
that.
Save a nation.
That's right.
She did. She literally, when they went to Hulda the prophetess, she intervened for them because they were due the judgments of God. And King Josiah sent to her to hear from God. And she went to the Lord, and she got a pushing off of judgment until King Josiah's reign was over. She spoke for God.
Praise God.
And that can be. That can
That's
absolutely
good,
be.
We
Isn't
need
that,
that
good?
We need to know that. People
Isn't
need to
that
know
good?
That. That's great.
And
and women need to be free to step into whatever God's called them to do.
That's exactly
And not
right.
let traditions of men
no.
hold them back.
And not let people speak of sexists and things mm-hmm. like this. No, you just have to think, well, praise the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
That's right. And go on and do what you're called to do.
Yeah, go on and do what God calls
Amen.
You to do.
Amen. Amen. You
Bless
got 30
Lord.
Seconds to say something good about the blessing.
But the blessing. The root word of blessing is kneel.
Kneel.
And
yeah.
we were talking about K-N-E-E-L, kneel.
Like
and last night
knees.
We were talking, why is it? And you got a good answer to that. Tell us why you think.
I don't remember what my answer was.
We were talking at the table, Ken and Gloria and I. Why is the root word of blessing kneel? And you said it's because you have to submit yourself to God to get the blessings.
That's right. You know, the blessing and the curse, you're blessed if you do what God says. You're cursed if you don't, Deuteronomy 28.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that that's true. Kneel, we make ourselves, and to be blessed, for us to be blessed out here in this natural realm, we submit to God.
And I want to tell you this from the Tehillim. They have a commentary from one of the sages on Psalm 115:14, and they say, blessing means increase and abundance, whereas the closest definition of curse is decrease and loss.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Yep.
I'll just read you that again. Blessing means increase and abundance, whereas the closest definition of curse is decrease and loss.
Wow. Billy and I'll be right back.
As pastors, we pour out on a weekly basis. and without refueling, you run out. And so I come to these to get just saturated completely with the Word of God.
I get refreshed and I get energized, and I just love it. Like, I can't imagine not having it.
For the past 6 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have brought the message of love and faith to the people of the Great Lakes area. People come from all over expecting to be immersed in the blessing.
We're here for the blessing, just to shower on us, on my family.
You are a spirit of His spirit. You're one spirit with the Lord. You're a bone of His bone. You're flesh of His flesh. And I'll tell you, what's His is yours, and what's yours is His. And you ought to be walking together. You have been named after Him. You have His spirit. You have His heaven. You have His earth. You have His blessing. You have His life. You have His name.
What does it mean when we engage? That means we're going to have a faith fight, and we're going to win. And we're not going to quit until we win. It's not over till it's over.
We really enjoy Brother and Sister Copeland. They are our spiritual parents, and their teaching has really made a change in our life.
The blessing of God on our lives is designed by God to not only empower us to prosper and to succeed and to increase and to excel and to rise above, but it is also designed by God to draw attention.
It's time now that we rewrite the script, that we make it so that everything God has planned for your life, you will get it before you leave this life. Praise God.
How many know there is nothing weak in God? Our God is very great, very strong. There is no weakness in God. And God is in you.
Now faith is. So it's not a tomorrow thing, it's a now thing. Yet it has the ability to create a future.
You are debt-canceling God. You're not a respecter of person. I've already seen what you did yesterday. You got to do it today. Put your faith out there, man.
I believe this is what heaven is supposed to be like, when people from all races, all colors, all natural, all creeds can come together on one accord with one purpose, is to give God honor and glory and praise.
Worshiping God in one accord is always a part of our Believers' Conventions and Victory Campaigns. Praise and worship always set the stage for the anointing to fall.
Come and let your glory fill this room as we pray, as we worship.
KCM believes in the importance of family and provides special sessions for children. There are games, activities, praise and worship, teaching of the Word, and always a time of prayer.
These kids are realizing who God is and hearing His voice. They're learning how to raise their voice in this world and let God raise His voice in their lives.
Gloria Copeland has conducted Healing School for the past 30 years at all the KCM Believers Conventions. Healing School is always concluded with a powerful healing service. God is present to meet people's needs in their spirit, soul, and body.
Not only am I being fed spiritually, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to pass it on to my children, to my family. I'm going to feed them what I've been fed here.
Learn to live in the fullness of the blessing.
I've watched them since I was 19. I'm 46 now. And I've been watching them over the years. And just to have them here in my city, I can't even begin to tell you what they've done.
Billy's going to receive the offering today, and in the offering, there's increase. When they brought the offering to the Lord, that got him involved in their blessings.
It
opened the door.
Yes.
So, Billy, go ahead and share.
We've been looking at that Hebrew word blessing, mm-hmm. bracha, and from the Tehillim and our Hebrew sources, this is what they say about it. Blessing means increase and abundance, whereas the closest definition of curse is decrease and loss. Now, remember that blessing means increase in abundance. We're going to go over to Malachi 3:10, which is a very familiar scripture. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, mm-hmm.
You give your tithes, you get a blessing
yes.
on it, an increase. That there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, if you have your King James Bible, you go get it. And you'll see it certainly in the Hebrew does not say anything about there will not be room enough to receive it. And they didn't know how to translate that. But you see that there are only three words. I will pour you out a blessing. King James, whenever the words aren't in the original, they italicize them. So we're going to leave out every italicized word. And there's only three words left. You give, and he said, I will pour you out a blessing. That's an increase. Mm-hmm. That not enough. Ad bli die. The Hebrew word for enough is die. El Shaddai. He's the God that's enough. Okay, ad bli die. Until there's nothing, there's not enough. Until there's not enough. He's going to pour you out a blessing until there's not enough. Where? In heaven. He's going to pour you, the limiting place is not on earth, that you don't have room to receive it. The limit is until he doesn't have anything left. Until it's empty, till heaven's empty. Mm-hmm. And so you, when you send your offering today, you believe for the increase on it.
Yes, amen.
You believe, you hold it up to God and you say, Lord, I'm giving this and I'm believing you for the increase. And he'll be happy with your faith until there's not enough left in heaven. He'll answer you.
That's great. Father, we pray and believe, God, for the people, for their blessing, Lord, for their increase. We receive this offering today as they sow it from their hearts. And we thank you that the windows of heaven are open to them. Reveal to them, Lord, how to handle their finances.
Thank you,
Jesus. In Jesus' name, that they live in the blessing, constantly live in the blessing. In Jesus' name, the blessing is on you. You want to tithe. Whatever you do, don't ever quit tithing. If you get mm-hmm. in a jam, you sure don't want to quit tithing. Mm-hmm. That's important. That lets
blessing.
God get in on your money deal. Mm-hmm. We're so glad you are with us. We're still in Woodbridge, Virginia tonight. So come be with us at the Hilton Memorial Chapel. Billy and I love you. We just have enjoyed sharing the word with you. And we'll see you again soon. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Shalom, shalom.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.